This is the story of the birth of Isaac. I should be closer. Okay. Genesis records Isaac's birth in chapter 21, but the story starts in chapter 11. I suppose all the way through, the one question is, does God actually keep his promises? Can he keep his promises? Will he keep his promises? Another question I think is bigger and lying underneath this. If God wants to build a nation, and with that nation he's going to bless every nation, why would he start with an old couple that can't have children? He wants to make a big nation. Why would he start with an old couple that can't have children? Why would he wait another 25 years to start? Why doesn't he start with a young couple, ready and able to have children? Wouldn't that be a better way? Why did God make it so hard for himself? Before God even called Abraham in Genesis 12, we read that Sarah was childless. That's in chapter 11. To make it clear, they say it another way. She was not able to conceive. Once that's clear, God said, Abraham, leave your father's household and go to a place I will show you. And here's my promise to you. I will make you into a great nation. At that time, Abraham was 75. Sarah was 65. They lasted a long time in those days. But still, that's not young. I will make you into a great nation. Abraham and Sarah look at each other. They're along in years. No kids. Can't have kids. God says, I will make you into a great nation. They shrug their shoulders, not sure about this, and start packing. When they get to Canaan, this is chapter 12, verse 7, God appears to Abraham and says, look around, Abraham. I'm going to give this land to your offspring. Abraham thinks to himself, it's a very nice land, God, but the offspring part is a problem. Is it not? We have no children, and it doesn't look good. I'm guessing that's what Abraham thought. He must have thought something like that, but he kept it to himself. The next chapter, chapter 13, God did this again to Abraham. Abraham had just let his nephew, Lot, pick the best of the land. Lot saw a wide plain that was well watered. It was like the garden of the Lord, it says. Lot said to Abraham, I'll take that part. And Abraham kindly let him and took the leftovers. And after Lot parted from Abraham, God spoke again to Abraham. Abraham, look around you. Look north and south and look east and west. All the land you can see, I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that anyone could count the dust, they could count your offspring. Go ahead, walk around, walk all through this land. I'm giving it to you. And Abraham thinks, it's a very nice land, God, but I don't see how the offspring part is going to work, like the dust of the earth. For Abraham, faith was sometimes keeping his mouth shut. Now, to Genesis 15, a similar story, except this time, Abraham told God what he thought. Nicely. God told Abraham, don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. So Abraham explained the problem to God. Oh, Lord God, he began. He was going to object to something, but he began respectfully to God. O Lord God, what's the point of giving me anything since I'm childless? Eliezer, my servant, is going to inherit everything I have. And then Abraham repeated, you've given me no children. A servant in my household will be my heir. O Lord God, why do you keep talking about my offspring? God responded, Abraham, that man will not be your heir. A son who is from your own body will be your heir. And then God said to Abraham, let's go outside. Come outside with me. So Abraham walked outside. And God said, look at the sky and count the stars if you can, if you think you can. Then God said, that's your offspring, Abraham. You will have that many descendants. And then we read that Abraham believed God. He believed him. He didn't know how this would happen, but at that point he was persuaded. And God said to himself, he believed me. That is a righteous man. He believed me. Genesis 16, we read about Hagar and Ishmael. This story happens when Abraham and Sarah had been in Canaan 10 years. Sarah had not had any children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarah said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. That's a line, isn't it? The Lord has kept me from having children. I'm not sure if that's how God saw it, but actually it's not far from the truth. So we'll let it stand. So Abraham said, Sarah, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, since God is not helping. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. So since Hagar is Sarah's slave, Sarah apparently would have the right to adopt Hagar's child as her own, as Sarah's own. In that way, Sarah can build a family. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed, so Sarah took her slave, Hagar, and Sarah gave Hagar to her own husband to be his wife. Abraham slept with her, and Hagar became pregnant. And once Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Hagar didn't feel like a slave anymore. She felt like she was the one in charge, and Sarah was trash. Sarah did not like this. Sarah said to Abraham, you, Abraham, are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. You have done this to me. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. Sarah was so sure that she was innocent and Abraham was guilty that she ended with, may God judge between you and me. Whoa. God kept his thoughts to himself on that episode. Decided just to watch this one. Sometimes Abraham did not treat Sarah very well, and sometimes Sarah did not treat Abraham very well. On the whole, there was a lot of loyalty and affection between those two. But it was a long marriage, and all kinds of things happened. Abraham submitted to Sarah on this one. Sarah was not in a mood to be challenged. Your slave is in your hands, he said. Do whatever you think is best. Sarah treated Hagar roughly, badly enough that Hagar fled out into the desert. God met Hagar in the desert. He said, go back and submit to Sarah. I'll take care of you, and I'll increase your descendants until they are too numerous to count. And Hagar said in amazement, you are the God who sees me. She gave a name to God, the one who sees me. Hagar thought God took care of Sarah and Abraham, but not her. She's a slave, she's an Egyptian. And she found out, God is the one who sees me. That's a keeper, isn't it? She's a slave, and she more or less had brought her troubles on herself. What did she think would be happening when she gets so sassy with Sarah? This is not going to go well in the long run. Once she was pregnant. But God was still watching her. And her amazement here is not that God will take care of her, or even that she should go back and submit. The first words out of her mouth are, you are the God who sees me. She had no idea that God was paying any attention to her. And she gave him a name. And Hagar gives a name to God that's recorded in Genesis as the name of God. The one who sees me. Which means we're invited to do that. It's true whether you believe it or say it or not. And that's the good news. So, she had a son. Hagar had a son, Ishmael, and the four of them lived together. Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and young Ishmael, who was Abraham and Hagar's son. Now we go to Genesis 17. Abraham is now 99 years old. It's been 24 years since he left his father's household in Genesis 12. We'll pick up the story in Genesis 15:17. God said, Abraham, I want to talk to you about Sarah. Don't call her Sarai anymore. Call her Sarah. I will bless her and give you a son by her. She will be the mother of nations. Kings of different peoples will come from Sarah. Abraham fell face down on the ground and laughed. He said, I'm 100. Sarah's 90. It's not going to happen. Abraham said to God, don't make this so hard on yourself. Just bless Ishmael. God said, yes, I will bless Ishmael, but your wife Sarah will bear a son, and you will call him Isaac. Isaac means he laughs. Sarah will have given birth to Isaac by this time next year. For 24 years, God's been saying, I'm going to make you into a great nation, but the details aren't there and the time isn't there. But now, it's going to be Sarah, it's going to be you and Sarah, it's going to be by this time next year, it's going to be a boy, and this is what his name is. God gets specific. That's Genesis 17. In Genesis 18, we read that Abraham had three visitors. It's kind of hard to figure out who they are. At first, they're just three men, but it turns out that maybe two of them seem to be angels, and the third one, some kind of bodily representation of God himself. Abraham treated them well. He made a meal for them. And while they were eating, he asked Abraham, where's your wife Sarah? Abraham said, there, in the tent. One of them said, I will surely come and see you again a year from now, and by then your son Sarah will have a son. Sarah was in the tent listening. She heard and she laughed. She said, after I'm old and worn out, and my Lord is old and worn out, will I now have this pleasure? Will I now have this pleasure? The Lord God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, that would be the right question. Like I said, Abraham, I will come and see you again a year from now, and by then, Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied, and she said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. And I think God is smiling when he says it, but just so we know that I know. That's the middle of Genesis 18. And that's where the story sort of stops there. And then all kind of other stuff. That last year of their life, a lot of Genesis is packed in between. We have to wait a long time for the year to come up. But it does come around. Genesis 21 begins. The Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son in her old age at the very time God had said. Abraham gave him the name Isaac. He laughs. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah will nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. In the long build-up to this story, Isaac is part of God's promise to Abraham. But when Isaac is actually born in the beginning of Genesis 21, it's for Sarah, not Abraham. God was good to her, kept his promise to her, and that's how she took it. God has brought me laughter. God has been good to me. So there's just a bit of a shift of emphasis right at the end. Sarah was so glad that God had done this for her, and she was pleased she could do this for Abraham, give him a son in his old age. And that is the story of Isaac's birth. A few observations about this, and you will have some too, and you'll have time for that. We have more stories about Abraham and Sarah than any other biblical marriage. It's a different time, it's a different place, it's 4,000 years ago, but in lots of ways, things haven't changed very much at all. They just sound like people to me. And that's how it should be. It is valuable just to find out about the relationship because that is the most prominent marriage that we have in the Bible. And let's remember Hagar's response to God. You are the God to seize me who sees me when she's in trouble, that in some significant way she brought on herself. And it just did not occur to her that God could possibly be paying attention to her at this time. And so the scripture is an invitation, as we have scads of them in the Bible, to be surprised that God is the one who sees me. God can take a long time to keep a promise, far longer than is wise in our opinion. I think the most important lesson of this story is something else. We say, and the Old Testament teaches, that God chose one nation, Israel, and through that nation God blessed all the nations. That is true, but it's the second half of the story. The first half of the story is there was no nation. God had to create the nation out of nothing. He began with an old couple, Abe and Sarah. Old, never had children. He chooses them when they're so old it's out of the question, and then he waits another 25 years. There should not have been any nation to choose. Why is there a nation to choose? God created one child where there should not be one and worked with that. And listen, Isaac married Rebekah. Rebekah was barren until God opened her womb. Isaac's blessed son Jacob married Leah and Rachel. They were both barren until God opened their wombs. Genesis is explicit about this. The three patriarchal generations in a row, all the wives were barren until God intervened. Three generations in a row, there should not have been a nation to choose. After that, it took off. But God made his point. There should not have been a nation. And so he blesses the world by choosing one nation. But he made the nation out of nothing. And so he can do whatever he wants with that nation. Amen.